Good morning. Welcome to Catalyst. Glad you're here. Before church, before every service, we have a prayer time before, and the word that was given was about God's perfect timing and God's alignment. And I'm just amazed as this service is unfolding. Like, I knew Mima was going to share an announcement, but I didn't know exactly what she was going to talk about in the announcement about mostly healthy relationships. And several things she says, I go, that's the point in my message. And I felt like God's aligning, God's timing, and God's encouragement. So I really think the Lord's hand and his word is in today. So just attune your spirit and receive it. Last week, our Africa team shared. And at the close of the sharing time, Henry Chi came up, one of our elders, he came up, and he made this really important declaration. And I know, I just remember him saying, mark this day, right? Mark this day, August 18, 2024. And I couldn't remember exactly what he said about that last week. So I asked him, I texted him. And so this is what he said as far as what he recalled he meant. He said, up here, our church is not the same. We have leveled up or increased because of stepping into the Lord's calling to go out. We have broken through fears and by faith have received greater boldness and authority to bring the kingdom of heaven to others. When you texted me, and as I read it to you now, I want to say yes, 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 amen, amen, amen. I totally affirm that declaration and that word that Henry gave last week. The week before that, so 2 weeks ago, Thursday through Saturday, our leadership felt that we needed to have an elders and staff retreat. So we had an elders and staff retreat, and we felt led to invite Pastor Dean Fujishima and Pastor Carrie, his daughter Hannah, and then they brought a couple from their church, their staff, to come and minister to us. And the reason why I think we felt like the Lord wanting this is we felt like the Lord wanted our elders, our staff, to prepare and to grow deeper in unity and in purity and in consecration and devotion to the Lord. And at the retreat, I have to say, some of our individuals, man, they were powerfully ministered to, healed. Things were broken in their lives. There was a greater freedom. And I myself received a huge breakthrough. And I'm going to share about that later. I received a huge breakthrough. And I think it's not only for us, but it's spiritually going to impact our church in the future. So I'll share about that in a little bit later in the message. But after the retreat and after last Sunday, I felt like the Lord spoke to me and he said, you have crossed over. You are in a new land now. From the end of last year and all throughout this year, there's been this reoccurring image and theme and vision that the Lord has given to me in the leadership. And it's the whole thing of what Lauren read in the scriptures about Israelites crossing the Jordan and going into the new land. And that's been a recurring theme. And I felt like the Lord said, you're in the land. Last Sunday, when Henry made that declaration, spiritually something has shifted. Even for me, last week I sat over there. I always sit over here, but last week I sat over there. And this morning I felt like the Lord said, sit over there. As a subtle reminder to people that something's different. Something has changed. That we are in a new land and a new season. And this new season, it's not just a new season. It's a new reality. A new spiritual reality that we have entered into. And going forward, I think it's for us to learn how to live out that new reality, how to embrace that new reality, how to live out God's call for us to be a city on a hill, to be his city on a hill, to be stronger together, to burn brighter. But let me just say, mark these words, we're in. We're in a new land. And you're going to see that, I'm sure you're going to see that unfold as time goes. And part of that, it's with, we've been talking about this new facility, We actually have the lease, we're reviewing it, but something else came up. This journey has been crazy. Something else came up that we're trying to work through, but I think it's going to happen pretty quickly. So you'll hear the news as soon as we sign. But it's all part of this new land, new time, new reality we're in. You know, when the Israelites crossed into the promised land, life was completely different. Life was completely different. For one, they no longer were receiving manna. So God, while they were 40 years in the wilderness, God was providing this manna for them, these flakes on the dew. Every day, he would provide that miraculously to feed them. But in the new land, they were to eat off the land. And you think, wow, that doesn't seem as good because they have to work now. But imagine if you had to eat the same thing all three meals every day for 40 years. For some people, I thought, some of the Israelites, they were born and they grew up and that's all they ate. Except the time they wanted meat, God gave them meat. That's a whole other story where it came out of their nostrils and all that. But basically, can you imagine? They had to come up with all these recipes. Baked manna, broiled manna, fried manna, right? Manna, stir-fried manna, manna, you know, sashimi. I don't know if sashimi or manna, but, you know, now they had the full variety of the riches and the wealth of the promised land to eat. So that changed. The second thing is, they would have to fight. God says, I'm giving this land to you. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to cause your enemies to flee, but you're going to have to do your part. You're going to have to fight to possess the land. And then they would settle in cities. You know, they were wanderers in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 years, but they would finally settle in cities of their own. So life completely changed. It was completely different. They didn't just change addresses, but it was a completely new reality, a new way of living. I'm telling you, Catalyst family, starting last Sunday, we are in a new land. Things are going to be different. Things are going to be different now. And the city on a hill, that whole vision, image, concept, it's our reality now. It's the reality we've stepped into. And so I want us to repeat some things, just because I think verbally repeating some things is helpful. So I'm going to have us repeat some things, these different phrases. First, I want us to say, we are a city on a hill. Okay? So I'm going to say one, two, three, come out strong, all right? One, two, three, we are a city on a hill. Let's do it again. One, two, three, we are a city on a hill. That's truth. That's the reality. Second, we are going from fear to faith. We did this whole series, from fear to faith. We are going from fear to faith. Okay, one, two, three, we are going from fear to faith. Yes. And then third, things are changing for the better. Sometimes we don't like change, but this change is for our good and for the good of other people, that they might be saved, that they might come to know the Lord, that they might find healing and wholeness. So things are changing for the better. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Things are changing for the better. You're speaking truth. You're speaking truth, okay? And today, I just want to highlight one way, one key way that things will be different. One key way things will be different, and it's this right here. We will be committed to living in the light and walking in truth. As a church family, we are going to be committed to living in the light and walking in the truth, in God's truth. Matthew 5, this is the whole City on a Hill passage, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. It doesn't say grow to be the light of the world. It doesn't say I hope you'll be the light of the world. It says you are. That's our identity as God's sons and daughters. We are the light of the world. And if we are not shining, darkness. Because we are the light because of the Lord. We are the light. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a blanket, but on the lampstand. God has put us, Catalyst Christian Community, on the lampstand. He has lit us. We're lit, right? And he has put us on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine. Yet let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. And as a result of seeing your good works, what? And glorify your Father who is in heaven. There's no greater thing as sons and daughters of the Lord who has experienced his love and goodness and grace, for whom Jesus has died for us and given us life. There's no greater thing than our Father getting glory, getting worship, getting praise. So to be the light, we need to live in the truth. We need to live in the light. And there are three truths that we must walk in. Three truths we must walk in. Number one, this is what one of the things Mimo said. Be truthful with yourself. That's one of the truths we need to walk in. Be truthful with yourself. What that means is we must be honest with ourselves regarding our issues, regarding struggles, regarding our fears, regarding our hurts, regarding our sin. John 8, 12, then Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. John 12, 46, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Jesus came to bring light, to have us walk in the light, to transfer from us from the domain of darkness into his kingdom of light. But in order for us to experience that, we need to be truthful. We need to be brutally honest. We need to be humble with ourselves about what's going on inside. If we aren't truthful with ourselves and the issues of our lives, that part of us remains in darkness. Those things in our lives that we want hidden and to remain hidden, they remain in darkness. Not because the Lord is not willing to bring us into the light, but because we remain in darkness. You know, one of the reasons why I think our leadership felt like we needed to have a staff and elders retreat is we realized that for us as the leaders of our church, to lead our church forward into truth, our leadership needs to grow in truth. Because you could only lead people as far as you've been. So we felt like, you know, we need to walk in greater truth, in greater vulnerability, and greater purity. And so during one of those sessions we had, and this was with the elders and our directors, one of the sessions, to help us grow in being truthful with ourselves, with one another, Pastor Dean asked us, each one of us, to share one of our most embarrassing moments. And so he put that out, and then you could feel the tension, right? Like, ooh. And then immediately you could tell everyone's thinking, okay, what's the story? What's the story? What's the story? So as we're thinking about it, for me, two stories came to mind. Two memories I had came to mind. One of the memory was kind of like, oh yeah, it was embarrassing. Actually, I'll tell you, it was when I was in high school, we went to this other church, this for a conference. We had a homestay, and we stayed overnight in this home, and then I think, the daughter's shower. I used the daughter's shower, so it's fine, slept there. The next day, the parents came up to me, and they said, they had a bag, a brown paper bag, and they said, oh, is this yours? I looked in there, my underwear. Oh my gosh, I left my underwear in the daughter's bathroom, right? Hanging there, I can just imagine them grabbing it, like, oh! All right, so that was the one story, that was here. But then the Lord brought another story. It was down here. And that story was not only embarrassing, but I felt shame. So then, you know, you're sitting there and you got a choice, right? I could share this or I could share this. And in my head, I thought, it's okay, I could share this. But you know in your spirit, no. You got to go there. So I did. I decided to go there. And I'm going to share with you what I shared. So this was a number of years ago. This was 25 years ago. So a long time ago. But I remember I was watching TV. The family was all home. Dale was home. And I was watching TV, and this commercial came on. And it was for this bikini contest. I went, oh. And I remember, like, the wheels started turning. Actually, the flesh started turning. And I go, I want to watch that. And I thought, well, I can't watch it because my family's home. But it was back in the day when we had the VHS tapes, right? The VHS recorders and the tapes. I go, okay, so how can I tape that show? So I'm starting to do the scheming. You know, women, guys do the scheming, right? We kind of, it starts turning and we start thinking, scheming, and trying to plan, and that started kicking in. I go, how can I do it? And I go, okay. I go, well, I could tape it, but then Dale's pretty sharp. So she'll see the little lights on the recorder. So I go, okay, I know. I'll get black electrical tape, and I'll put it over the recorder so it hides those little lights. So I did that. I set it up to record. I put the timer. I set it up to record. And then I used black electrical tape to cover the little buttons. And I thought, okay, we're all set. And then the time came, and then it came on. And then, you know, Dale's just walking around. The kids are wherever. They're young. And then I was like, okay, this is working. She doesn't notice. But she was coming down quite a bit, way up two stories. So she was coming down quite a bit. She'd walk by. And then one time she walked by and she looked. And then, you know, the tape, if you look at an angle, you could still see the light. And she said, hey, why is this light on? I said, I don't know. And she goes, wait, that doesn't seem right. What's going on? And then I go, I don't know. It's nothing. And then she kind of walked. Then she came back, because she's very, her spirit's very statute. So she's like asking, are you recording something? I said, no. And she started asking me that, and then it came out. And then she saw what I was recording. And then you know you felt, but the worst part, I think, for me was that my girls came in. And they heard what was going on. And I felt tremendously embarrassed, and I could feel that shame. And then even me sharing the story a weekend ago, it was funny because I go, wow, I felt shame, I felt embarrassed for myself, for being caught, I think. But then Dale started sharing how she felt at the time. And I just had to repent and ask for forgiveness. And just that whole thing of, you know, being a pastor, my father to my girls, and all of that. I was like, yeah. But sharing that last couple weeks ago, today, it's part of being honest with myself. It's part of being transparent. Yeah, we could walk around and, yeah, we know God forgives me, God, blood of Jesus. But then why then do we not want others to know about it if we're forgiven, if we really have taken that to heart? And so it's funny too, even this before church this morning, Mindy was here and I said, hey Mindy, just to give you a heads up, I'm gonna share about that. And then she goes, oh, okay. She goes, yeah, we've talked about that before as a family. I remember us talking about it. And I go, oh yeah, we had talked about it after. And I thought, oh, I felt good and encouraged. And even this whole thing about timing, I felt this morning, I felt like, okay. I felt encouraged to go there. And because it's easy for us to hide. It's easy for us to deceive ourselves. We all have weaknesses. We all have blind spots. We all have sin. And if we want to walk in the truth, walk in the light, we need to be truthful with ourselves. That's where it starts. Second, we need to be truthful with God. We need to be truthful with God. John 3:19-20, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light. That's so sad, but it's so true. Even my story, you know, it feels better. I would rather be in darkness, keep those things in darkness, than bring it to the light. For their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. You know, it says God is light. And he wants every part of each one of us, all of us, our whole hearts. He wants our whole heart. He wants every part of us to come to him, come into the light, because he wants relationship with all of us, the good and the bad, the pretty and the ugly. He wants us to bring all of us, all of who we are, to him, because he wants to touch those parts with his love, his redemption, his grace, his power. You know, sometimes I was holding my grandson, Caden, he's like 1.5, sometimes he likes to play hide and seek, or he likes to hide. So there's this big kind of lounge rocking chair in his bedroom. And so a couple times he would like want to try to hide. So he goes behind that lounge chair in the corner and he hides. But you know what he does when he hides? He does this. And you think, oh, that's cute, right? He goes this, he's hiding in the corner, but it's a child, right? Because I could totally see him. He's not hiding from anyone, right? He thinks this makes him hiding because he can't see himself. But I could totally see him still. And we would say, he's acting like a child. What if an adult did that? What if an adult came and said, let's play hide and seek. I'm going to hide from you. And they went in the corner and they did this. What would you think? That's childish, right? But you know what? We do that all the time. God could see and knows every hair on your head. He knows every thought. He knows every intention of your heart. He knows every word or action. He sees it all. But we think we can hide it from him. We think, I'm not going to say anything about that because I feel bad. And he totally knows. And he welcomes us and invites us, and he wants us to bring the parts that we'll feel shame, we feel guilt, that we haven't told anyone. You know, you've heard that, right? And you think that. I'm never going to tell anyone about this. Or I've heard people share something and they go, you know, I've never told anyone this in my whole life. Those are the very things God wants us to bring to him. Because he wants those parts of us to be touched by his love, grace, forgiveness, and goodness. You know what that's called when we do that? It's called a big and sometimes scary word that we kind of don't like when we think we hear it. That's called repentance. That's called confession. When we're willing to bring the hurt parts, the ugly parts, the sinful parts to the Lord. And we say, Lord, I know this is something that's not of you. But I want to just bring it to you. Because I need, most of all in those parts, your love, your grace, your forgiveness, your acceptance, and all those things. What an awesome tool. What an awesome gift God has given us. Repentance and confession, because they're the means through which we get to experience more of his love, more of his grace, more of his forgiveness in the areas that we need him most. So truthful with God, truthful with ourselves, truthful with God, and the third thing, lastly, truthful with others, being honest, transparent, vulnerable with others. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 7, listen to this. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Why is that? Why, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, do we have fellowship with one another? It's because if we walking with him, we experience his love and grace and his forgiveness. And it says, and the blood of Jesus covers, cleanses us from all sin. When we walk with the Lord, we've experienced the blood of Jesus, we're free. We're free. Because the God of the universe accepts us. The God of the universe loves those parts of us we want to hide. The God of the universe says, you're okay. You're part of my family. You're my son or daughter. And we're free. And being free, if we really take that to heart, enables us to be free with others. Because the most important by far person, God, says you're okay. You're good. You're forgiven. You're holy and blameless in my sight. Doesn't matter what other people think. In fact, you being open with them will help them to be free. Because they'll see a person who has received the forgiveness of the Lord. If we walk in the light by being truthful with ourselves and truthful with God, we will be free and loved, and we could truly fellowship with one another. James 5:16 says this, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Confess your sins, not just to God, but to one another. And as we confess to one another, we will be healed. You know why I think that's true? It's because when we confess with one another and we find brothers and sisters who are walking in the light and they express love and forgiveness and acceptance to us, through them, we can physically, tangibly, through a flesh and blood person, experience the acceptance of God. That's the gift that you can give to other people. That's how God can use you to help set one another free. And you know what? That kind of acceptance, when someone's vulnerable and shares, and they receive acceptance, you know what that does? It breaks shame. Shame cannot live with that kind of truth and vulnerability and love and grace. Shame melts away. Shame cannot stand in the presence of that kind of vulnerability and truth. And that's what sets us free. Being truthful with others involves, I just put a few things here, all C's, confession. Confess to one another. It involves correction. Sometimes, because we love another person, because we want the best for them, because we want them to experience all they're created and called to be in Christ, we need to point out, after we take the log out of our own eye, right? We speak with grace, humility, and love. Sometimes people say, I'm just speaking the truth in love. And in saying that, they're saying, well, just speaking the truth to you, that's being loving. But speaking the truth in love means speaking with love, with tender-hearted, with compassion to one another. But we need to do that more. In our church, we need to do that more to help one another be all we're created called to be. Correction. Clarification. I mean, we said that. Tracy said that. Can I check in with you about something so that I don't make an assumption, right? Can I just see and just check in and clarify something you shared to make sure I'm understanding it correctly? We need to do that more. We need to grow in that. That's walking in the light with one another. And then concerns. Sharing things we have been hurt by. things that we have filled, you know, that we don't want, as Mimo shared, to grow into resentment. So we need to share with one another. Let me just close with this. By the end of the retreat with the elders and staff, there had been something the Spirit was growing and brewing. And it kind of culminated with their daughter, Hannah. She said, it was the closing session. She said, you know, I felt like the Lord had given me something to do to close. And it was this kind of symbolic prophetic act of us lining up and kind of jumping together and saying, we're jumping in. We're going all in with God. And then she said, I felt like one thing that needs to take place is everyone needs to share and express verbally to one another, I give you permission to speak into my life. I welcome you to speak into my life, to share with me what's going on, to check in with me. But then she said, but you know what? I think something needs to get broken. She said, I feel like some kind of curse needs to be broken. And right when she said that, right when she said some kind of curse in my spirit, I knew what that was. And I got a flash, you know, like the whole retreat, all these things that were talked about, all these things that were shared, all these things that Pastor Dean was teaching about, it just flashed through my eyes. And I go, oh my gosh, I know what that is. And it was the curse of false harmony. The curse of false harmony. And I started realizing that me, as a senior pastor, coming from Japanese culture, I thought, it's in part me, because I carry that. You know, I don't know if you know Japanese culture. There's this whole history about Japanese culture. At one time, they were almost going to destroy the country. It's interesting. Japan's an island, so they had only been invaded one time in their whole history. And that was only during World War II when the United States won the war. As opposed to Korea, a peninsula, Korea has been invaded by foreign invaders over 3,000 times in their history. That's why I joke with Dale. Dale's Korean, right? I joke with her. Oh, that's why you're such a fighter, right? You're always trying to fight, because you always have to defend off these foreign invaders your whole life and your culture. And we laugh, we talk about that. But for Japan as an island, what threatened Japan was the infighting. When they had the shoguns, feudal lords, they would constantly fight one another, right? And it threatened to destroy the country. So when the emperor took power, the first emperor of Japan, when he took power, the thing that they promoted is harmony. We have to be in harmony. If we don't have harmony at all costs, we're going to destroy each other. And so that became the prevailing value of Japan, is harmony. And then for me, I realized, you know, it's even intensified because my grandparents on both sides and my parents were both in the internment camp. And in the internment camp, it intensified that sense you have to blend in. You have to make nice. You have to be at peace. It has to be harmony at all costs. You don't say things to other people that's offensive. You don't go there. And all of that hit me. And I thought, oh my gosh. And you know, there's good things about that. There's positives about that. It's not all bad. You know, it's certain things are biblical about that, right? Consider the interests of others before yourself. There's all kinds of things. But I thought, for where the Lord wants to take our church, and this that has come because I'm the senior pastor, in part, there's part of it that's become like this curse that has put a lid over our church. And I felt like, oh my gosh, I need to repent of this.
I need to ask forgiveness of this for the way, the negative ways it's affected our church family. And so I did that. I did that, and the staff, elders, they were so awesome. They came and surrounded, and we prayed, and then other sharing took place after that, and we're continuing to debrief about that. But I felt like that has broken something that will free us to more completely and thoroughly and wholeheartedly walk in the light and walk in the truth, be able to face the truth about ourselves, live in the truth, truthful, being truthful with God, and be more truthful and honest and transparent with one another. And so I believe the Lord has us in a new place. Has us in a new place. And we're going to see awesome fruit coming out of living in the promised land as God's city on a hill. Let's have the worship team come on. Okay, let's just pray. Lord, I know you spoke this to me at the beginning of the year. You said multiple times, I'm going to take the wheel. So just stay close and do what I ask you to do, but I'm taking the wheel. And so, Lord, I'm so thankful that you have, because you're leading us into places that only you can take us. And in your perfect timing and out of your goodness, you're wanting us to truly live in the light, live in the truth, and shine. And shine and shine and shine and shine. So that because of who we are and who you made us to be, people will see and experience you through us, and they will glorify you because of the works you do through us. And so, Lord, I pray as a church family, you help us to grow in embracing what it means to be city on a hill, what it means to be stronger together, what it means to burn brighter, and what it means to live in your light and to live in the truth. Thank you, Lord. And now we just want to come before you to worship you, to honor you, to love you, to express our hearts to you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.